You are listening to The Star Coach Show with Meg Rentschler, episode 207.
What I see often is that we are so, at least in the culture, Western cultures, specifically in the American culture, so conditioned to be successful or achieve things. And that then creates assumption in the inexperienced coaches that I need to facilitate client achieving something end of this session. That dismisses the value of client's self-awakening and self-awareness and their ability to choose to act, choose not to act. As a coach, we can't have the preference. We need to create an environment for them to choose to act, choose not to act, choose to stay ambivalent, choose whatever they want to choose, right? So when the coach's desires or their feedback mechanism is looking for a, some sort of an action-oriented goal, mm-hmm. that's the coach's need, gets significantly way into their listening.
Welcome to Star Coaches, the show for professional coaches that brings you coaching strategies, tools, and resources. Whatever your focus or niche, take a front seat weekly as industry leaders, decision makers, and innovators share their wisdom and expertise on the ins and outs of successful coaching. Now join your host, Meg Rentschler, as she connects you with your star coaching potential.
Hello, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Meg Rentschler, and one of the things that I feel truly blessed about is that the Star Coach Show has been in existence for so many years. So we began back in 2016 with the intention to bring valuable content to, at the time, it was coaches. Over the course of time, it's really evolved into coaches and leaders to communicate in a way that helps people feel listened to and empowers people. We also lean into how do we get our work into the world so that people's lives are transformed in organizations, in small businesses, in life in general. So what I know to be true is that sometimes life hands us a whole lot all at once. And that's sort of what's happened in my life. Suddenly, just a whole lot of things have stacked upon one another. And I realized that there is so much content that the Star Coach Show has brought forward over the years that it's well worth revisiting a couple of those episodes. And that's what I've decided we're going to do in this next 2 weeks. We're going to visit two of my very favorite episodes from fellow instructors in the coaching industry that, one, are going to focus on the core competencies, and two, are going to really think about how, what's going on between our ears? What are we, the stories we're telling ourselves? How is that influencing the way we're showing up in partnership? This week, I'm bringing a favorite episode back from 2020. So in the heart of COVID, I invited fellow instructor Tijan Ginko to join me to talk about the art of deep listening. This is truly an incredible episode. And however long you've been coaching, leaning back into the competency of deep listening couldn't send any of us in the wrong direction. Now, Tijan is a master certified coach. She owns Ginko Coaching, where she focuses on executive and leadership coaching, life coaching, spiritual coaching, and well-being coaching. She joins me in this episode to talk about the things that get in the way of deep listening, the stories we tell ourselves when we're trying to bring value to a session, and how to be attentive to what's going on inside so that we can release it and get back to the business of coaching. So let's revisit the art of deep listening in this Star Coach episode. Sean, welcome to the Star Coach Show. Thanks for being here with us.
I am so joyful, Meg. It's beyond delightful to be with you here today. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, I knew that you would be such a gift to the audience because we've known each other for years now, and you have such a way about you when it comes to helping coaches understand the art and the flow of coaching. And so I just said to you one day, well, Tijan, why have you not come on the show? And we just hadn't even thought about that. So today we are talking about deep listening and some of the barriers that can get in the way of deep listening. We're going to not just give you the barriers, people. We're going to give you ways to get past those barriers. But I couldn't have a more skilled coach coming to you to bring that to you. So thanks for bringing your specialty to us today.
Thank you so much. And you're just being so kind. I appreciate and love hearing all that. Thank you.
Absolutely. So why don't we start with your journey into coaching? What is it that brought you into coaching, and particularly into the kind of coaching you do and the teaching that you do?
Yeah, thank you so much. So what brought me into coaching was really I was doing a lot of mentoring in the area of process and service excellence. I realized that you can design the best service, best process, but that doesn't mean that people who need to follow the service rules or the process are going to do it. So we were coming up as the best processes, and after doing a lot of Lean Six Sigma methodologies, and we were finding out that people needed to follow the process, they weren't. So then I understood that you have to include the human component to it. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got into coaching. And yet, though, I didn't stay in that space, although I loved the executive and professional coaching component. Mm-hmm. And I have 23 years of corporate experience in the background in there. I have such a passion for understanding why things work the way they do. And I'm a lifelong seeker of truth. So that led me into more of a meditation and mindfulness and all that. So really my authentic and true calling is the, I call it spiritual coaching, not in a way of religion concept, but evolving human consciousness. So that's where it is. And this, I think the audience, the people listening to us will get kick out of this, that Meg was actually one of my professors when I went through this UTD program. And now here we are collaborating. It's such a joy.
It is such a joy. And you have been so intentional about your path. So you have the spiritual coaching, and you are also, we've invited you to be one of the co-instructors in one of the courses I teach, to be able to really get in there and give some direct feedback on how the coaches are coaching. And then you teach another course. So we've just, I think, through seeing your evolution, you've become an MCC. Congratulations for all of that. Mm-hmm. It just made sense to bring you in and have you help share that which you're so good at with the students that come through the program. And one of the things that we have the joy of meeting the students when they first come, where the very first course that they have, and some of the struggles that, well, and I don't even want to be negative and say struggles, but when we are learning coaching, there are some things that we really need to learn and think about. So Tijan and I thought we'd start with looking at the competencies, particularly in relation to the coach partnership and deep listening. So where do we want to start when we think about the core competencies, Tijin?
Yeah, thank you for that, Meg. I think if we said it in a way that although we are struggling as a world now getting out of dualistic mind into holistic mind, but there is the dualistic sort of representation and skill set in coaching, right? The one is the science of coaching, evidence-based methodologies, tried and true. And the other part is the beingness of coaching, right, and art of coaching. I think that we do such a great job in the Western societies teaching people evidence-based methodology, and not as good of a job to teach the coaches art of coaching. And then they get into interpreting the competencies solely and literally. Then they get in a way of being in the coaching conversation. So that's, I think, I would say the biggest challenge that the coaches face.
So what are some of the things that you see in that interpretation? So if you were to look at the competencies and you were to, first of all, just identify some of the common hiccups or the common experiences that you see of that interpretation that actually pulls away from the being.
Yeah. So I think also audience will be helpful audience to know we both assess also.
Right.
The recordings for ICF as well as the UTD. So what I see over and over again, that whether we are doing part of the education or when they are coming to me to assess for their credentialing process, that often inexperienced coaches interpret the competencies literally, and they expect them to be demonstrated in an order. I need to ask about what do you want to talk about today? What do you want to walk away today? Right after that, and then how are you going to know? Right after that. So they have this literal interpretation.
A linear, almost.
Linear.
Like, yeah, yes. But it's literal. I'm supposed to ask these particular questions, and so I just do that. So we're coaching to the competencies instead of being with our client.
Absolutely, exactly, because then they are so concerned about the science and methodology of coaching, they forget that they are with a human being and it's a sacred time and they need to listen. So because they think, I'm going to ask, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to walk away? Then they're not listening what it is kind of saying.
Right, right. So that very thing, if we've got this list of questions in our head, are we really receiving what the client is offering? And when we can truly be in that space and understand what the client really wants. So it kind of begins with creating that agreement or that outcome, huh?
Absolutely. And to think about it, if we understand ourselves, like as a client, I ask these to my coach students, right? How likely you're going to know exactly what you want to walk away from the session the minute I ask you the agenda right. question? I don't, right? Right? No, right. If we knew, we wouldn't need a coach. We right. can probably figure it out ourselves.
Right.
So it takes time to explore a little bit. And therefore, if the coach is thinking about, I need to ask that and get somewhere, some kind of agreement within the 5 minutes or so, or even up to the 20 minutes, it's my limit, then they're not really going to explore with the client and listen to the client. It takes time to unearth things. You know, I think I love this metaphor in a way. We are like a spiritual anthropologist. We go and we kind of take a brush, little bit, uncover the truths underneath of it,
right.
And then we can set the agenda, right?
Okay, so what you would recommend instead of right out of the gate, we're going to ask these questions, we're going to we're going to just go down the list. And I don't know, in your experience, I know that between the two of us, we've probably listened to hundreds of coaching conversations, maybe even close to 1,000. I mean, we've listened to hundreds of coaching conversations. So one of the things that I hear when a very well-intentioned, inexperienced coach is trying to do the best they can to meet their client, they end up asking the same question again and again. So with these outcome questions, you know, what would you like to focus on today? What do you want to walk away with? What does success look like? What, you know, what, but they just keep, so if the client is stuck, I see a loop happening. And I'm wondering if you've ever had that experience in listening, and what you would tell that that coach student that you're helping to coach around that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, I think it happens because, again, these are prematurely asked questions. When the client doesn't know, most of the time, there are some clients, exceptional clients, that I'm sure you have them too. They don't want to set an agenda. They just want to figure themselves out in the presence of deep listener. Let's put them aside.
Right.
But in general, what happens is that if you ask the outcome question prematurely, they don't know. And in fact, I say, I'm sure you heard it too, that if the client is telling you some sort of a list or a strategy, that outcome question asks too soon. Because it needs to be explored. And so therefore, it's not enough. Then the client is not answering you because they don't know yet. So you need to then ask questions about what makes this a problem for this person. Mm-hmm. How come they need my help to solve the problem?
Right?
Because we often get very capable people.
Right.
It's so easy. Too.
Yeah. What has brought this to the table for you today? What's made this important for you? What's made you bring it to coaching?
Yeah.
How can we work together? And what help do you kind of need through this process? So being able to be curious about what is happening and build a better platform of understanding of what's going on before we, because many times we know what's not working, but we don't have a clear idea of what we need to do to get to the other end. And many times I've heard a client say, well, that's why I'm here. I don't know. I don't know that yet. That's why I want to work with you as a coach. So that those are some indicators that maybe you're moving into that question too soon.
Yes. And I think those are the times, I'm sure you heard it too, that we can hear clients' frustration starts to come up. And then coach gets in the frustrating space because they feel like they need to perform, right? And that's what I also constantly say to my students, that get your needs met outside of the coaching session. You may need to work in a very clearly defined environment, but not every client is going to give those to you. So then we need to adjust to the client needs and together figure out, and we all tell it to the students, learn to work in the ambiguous environments. You know, that's the best skill that coach can get, right?
So that whole part about the coach being aware, so we need to be self-aware, aware of what our needs are, and then it's not up to the client to meet our needs as the coach. What are some things that you see in the coach's needs? One you said was being uncomfortable in ambiguity, just like, you know, wanting it to be more clear, more cut. And maybe the client needs to meander a little bit. Maybe the client needs to be able to work things out in that space of deep listening. What other needs do you see that coaches can kind of fall in the place of their need interfering with their deep listening?
What I see often is that we are so, at least in the culture, Western cultures, specifically in the American culture, so conditioned to be successful or achieve things. And that then creates assumption in the inexperienced coaches that I need to facilitate client achieving something end of this session. That dismisses the value of client's self-awakening and self-awareness and their ability to choose to act, choose not to act. As a coach, we can't have the preference. We need to create environment for them to choose to act, choose not to act, choose to stay ambivalent, choose whatever they want to choose, right? So when the coach's desires or their feedback mechanism is looking for a, some sort of an action-oriented goal, mm-hmm. that's the coach's need, gets significantly way into their listening.
So true. What else, if anything, about the coach's needs before we move into the coach's language, which is another super important thing to look at?
Yeah, I think that another thing that the coaches need to get feedback. Some people that as coaches, it is very important for us to understand what feedback mechanism we are looking for. If we know that if you are one of those coaches that you can self-indicate this is going well, regardless of client is progressing or not, you'll be okay staying with the client. If you're constantly looking for verbal feedback from others, then often coach wants to get the client to validate them. They're on the right track and so on. That also breaks the flow. The dance between coach and the client breaks the flow of the progress of the session and also can frustrate both coach and the client because then it turns into become about the coach.
Go ahead.
And go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, anytime the coach is in the center of the session, it's not a good place. So just in general, and guys, we're all human. We are doing the best we can. But if at any point you realize that there's a lot of I happening as and coming out of your mouth as the coach, if you are caught up in, am I bringing this client value? Am I bringing this client value? Am I asking the perfect question? Am I creating this aha moment for them? All of those solidly put the focus of the session on you. So whatever you need to do to put it back on the client, it's not about the coach, it's on the client. It's a client-centered experience. So within that, Tijin, anything you would add about how to get the heck out of the middle of the session and put the client back in there?
Beautifully said, Meg. Thank you. Yeah, I think two things in there is that if you notice that tendency, get coaching yourself, right? That your anxieties, your self-validations or whatever, we all have it. Get those resolved so that they don't accompany you and hack the coaching conversation, right?
Right.
And other thing is important is the language. I often don't even like the word questioning, did I get that right? Because again, it takes then the flow from the client mm-hmm. to the coach. The minute you ask question that, then the client needs to validate you. Instead, use, again, open-ended questions and use different ways of whatever you reflected to check back in. So the language is also important that we need to be aware. Yeah.
The other thing about language is that your language, the way that the meaning you put on words, the things that mean something to you, doesn't necessarily align that means the same thing with the client. So one of the things that we work very hard when it comes to language is being sure that we don't fall into assumption, that we stay in that place of curiosity, solidly putting the client in the middle. When we're deeply listening for how the client is seeing it, how the client is experiencing it, what about the situation is important to the client, and where do they want to go with it? Not, oh my gosh, yeah, I had another client that had that same issue last week. I know exactly what to do with this client. Or, you know, yes, this is my sweet spot and I know exactly, so I'm going to start directing because I heard something that triggered something in me, which is this next thing we're going to talk about, which is the client's model of the world. Tell us a little bit about, A, for anybody who hasn't heard that or understand that, what do we think about when we think about model of the world?
Thank you for that. I learned that concept the first time from you. So as we really, in a way that our socialization process gives us a interpretive language almost, that if this and that happens, that's how you understand, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And often that our caretakers is the first time that help us to create that interpretation. And so therefore, when we're thinking about meaning making, about the world around us, and interpreting if this happened and the next thing happened, it means it's going to create that sort of a result, as you said earlier, is very personal and cultural in a way, mm-hmm. right? So even in the, if we think about it, those of you have siblings, you can say that you grow up in the same home, and they, when you're talking about the same memory, you have a different understanding about it, right?
So true. Absolutely. Yes.
Yes, even then, that when our cultures match and the upbringing match, that we still have different filters. So therefore, it's very important for us to not take everything client says through our interpretive mechanisms, but really check in with them to see what it means for them, how they make meaning out of them, and so that we don't translate. It gets into another question you asked earlier. Coaches need to translate into their language. And if that's part of your need, we can certainly coach without understanding anything client is saying using their language, right? Mm-hmm. It takes a certain skill set. But if that's your need, once you understand, at least match it back to the client's language again, so that things don't get lost in the translation. And so specifically what I hear happens is that if the client is using metaphors and other things, coach takes it, understands, and then comes back with another metaphor. Use what client said. Use their, right, emotionally mm-hmm. charged words, repeat it back to them. Don't think that it's exactly how you understand.
Right. And I think that that is so key, particularly those emotionally charged words. When we, and I remember long ago hearing a conversation between two coaches, and the client was expressing some frustration in a work situation, and the coach said back, "So what makes you so angry about that?" And the client said, "I'm not angry." I mean, you know, it wasn't like I'm not angry, like I really am angry. It was like there was frustration there that the coach had taken that emotionally charged language that the client was using and twisted it into something that wasn't what was being expressed. And that created a disconnect because it was an emotionally charged experience for the client. And when the coach interpreted it and put it in their own language, it was a disconnect for the client.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. The coach took it into their model of the world. And maybe in their case, frustration equals anger, right? Versus the client, it doesn't. Right. And there, maybe it's a big thing for the client. Anger is such an explosive thing. They don't know. So they're going to feel like you're not listening to them. They're not being understood. And then the whole thing happens. So even I say to them that, like, if whatever the client's saying is not making sense at all to you. In fact, this is the case for me when I am a client often, because I do a lot of meditation and self-reflection. My coaching sessions often are very conceptual level. Mm-hmm. I processed it already. I'm deeply so, and then when somebody hasn't done that kind of coaching, they're like, "What? What are you talking about?" But you can easily coach me if you just repeat back my language to me. But you didn't have to do that sort of reflection to be able to coach me. It's okay. Just say whatever it is at what in the beginning. Start with what and the client language and make a simple question. You'll be the best coach ever.
And I think that that is so key. So using those building blocks, using, you know, those what at the beginning, using the client's idiosyncratic language, not necessarily, and this does not mean reflecting back every single thing that they just said, like, before you can ask any questions. So that's the other thing that I think can get in the way of deep listening. If I'm listening as a coach to be able to repeat everything back to my client, then I'm not listening for the essence of what's really being said. I'm listening for the words, because chances are I'm trying to figure out where are we going and what am I going to do with this. So if we can instead listen to what's the client presenting and how am I responding to that, hopefully with a what question, maybe with a reflection, like taking those key things and just reflecting them back and stop and see where the client takes that.
Yes, that's beautiful, Meg. Thank you for that. And I think in a way that tonal listening is key to catch those emotionally charged words. Maybe we should give this tip.
Yeah, let's talk about tonal listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you listen to the client, you're going to see blah, 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 ah, blah, 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 oh, and you're going to catch those things. And then are often repeated, right? We mm-hmm. just had a mentor session this morning, and the example client that we had maybe said 10 times struggle. They're going to keep repeating, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, watch for those. Clients are not, they're not looking to get a verbatim from you, right?
And as a matter of fact, that can also begin to interfere with the coaching. I've heard clients say, yes, I just said that. Yeah. I know that the intention, when I've heard coaches do that, might be, I want them to know that I've heard. And what I will say is, if you ask a question that helps take them deeper in what they've said, then they know you've heard, because your question aligns with what they've just said. You don't have to repeat everything to let them know that you've said. Your presence in hearing the key elements and asking a question about that is very, very much representative of being present and aware with them. What would you like to add to that?
Yeah, I really love that. And also, I think it goes back to prevents listening if you're trying to take verbatim notes. And also, it speaks to the coach's need to learn. You know, some coaches, that again, knowing thyself, right? Mm-hmm. If your need is to write down everything to learn, you may need to change your learning style. Because in every coaching session, we're a learner, right? We're
right.
learning everything about the particular agenda item that is brought into the space. But we need to learn differently, more almost like a connecting to that sort of a learning than having all the information, because we're in a different way of data processing in a way
mm-hmm.
without all the data.
So you brought up the element of taking notes, and I get that question repeatedly. I get the question, do you take notes, and how do you take notes, and what do you do? So let's answer that. I mean, what's your take on note taking in a session?
Yeah, I think I will answer that in two ways, right? The one is maybe you are more brave than I am in this because of your therapy background. I don't want anything that going to be liability for me, or I have to subpoena out by court. So I take no notes at all in a session because of that. When I say no notes, that is no personally identifiable information or copious note taking anything. But what I do is whenever client has those tonal listening importance or repetitive words, I write struggle. I write reacting. I write fight or whatever the things have the charged words. Mm-hmm. And then I see how can I construct them in a sentence that is going to make sense.
Right.
And even if it doesn't, as we both know, client is going to hear their emotional words and going to respond that is going to reveal more information.
Right. So good. So I, you know, my take on note taking is pretty much the same thing. I do like to capture what the goal for the session is when we've created an understanding of where we want to get so that mm-hmm. I can use that as a touch point, just a few key words, so that we can touch base on that and be sure that the client is taking the journey that they want to through the session. And then the idea of capturing just those key words that might really help the client go deeper. I believe that if you're all caught up in note-taking, you can't be deeply listening, which is why I brought it up in this session, on our deep listening session, because that if you're catching it now, I will also say that sometimes people are super good at paying attention and just kind of keeping up notes depending upon the way that they are sort of trained. I mean, some people are just in, if somebody's a what do you call it? Shorthand person, you know, that they take shorthand, those kinds of things. But maybe we went too deep into that, but that's just my belief about note taking, that if the note is more important than the interaction, the note's in the way.
Yeah. And that becomes coach's need. But I'm glad that you mentioned the agenda and an outcome desired. I forgot to mention that. And I do the same. And I also make a note every time if there is a fork in the road that is shifting so that I can present them with the full progression of the where we started, where we take a turn, and then where we end up with. Yes. So, yeah, that will be helpful for them to know.
Good.
Note taking, yeah.
Tijen, I could just talk to you and talk to you, and it's such an important subject, the deep listening and what could potentially get in the way of that. Is there anything that we have not covered that's important to address before we wrap up our discussion today?
I think we touched upon everything, and like you said, I can talk to you in hours and I still have a wonderful time. One more thing I want to add, which is again about coaches' meaning making and language. Sometimes that we talked about translation of the model of the world into theirs, but there is also our expressive language. Some of us are thinkers, so that language comes as a thinking language. Some of us are feelers, that's that. And some of us are sensing. So it is important, again, coaches to understand what their language is and then match their language to the clients. Sometimes that what happens that the client talks about feeling and then coach responds with thinking. That also gets in the way of listening.
And absolutely, and vice versa. I've heard clients say, well, I've thought about such and such, and then the coach says, well, how does that make you feel?
Yeah.
It's like a disconnect. It's like, well, follow the client's road. Yeah. So good. Tijen, thank you. Thank you for bringing your special sauce to us and sharing it with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's such a joy, and I had a blessed time with you. Thank you, Meg.
So that's a wrap with our blast to the past with Master Certified Coach Tijan Ginkgo. The information she shared in that episode is as relevant today as it was when she first shared it, and really challenges us to think about how are we showing up with the people that we're communicating with. Our spring break continues next week when we're going to revisit Change Your Negative Narrative, Change Your Life with professional certified coach, Pam Ack. Pam is one of my favorite people. She's a mindset coach. She's going to be talking to us about the stories we tell ourselves, how we can shift those to be empowered and to really create the kinds of lives we want for ourselves. So if you want to know more about Tijan, be sure to grab the links below this video or at starcoachshow.com/386. And then come back next week as we do a little diving into mindset. Until next week, this is Meg Rentschler wishing you the very best for your coaching success. Have a great one.